Thanks for choosing us for your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. We start with the Electricity Company of Ghana because they've made more than 100 power outage announcements in the first 2.5 months of this year. Majority of it, they say, is due to maintenance works. This is contained in the ECG's response to the Public Utility Regulatory Commission following the regulator's demand for ECG's publications informing the general public of the power outages this year. Now, the response is the only out of 3 queries which the power distributor was required to provide answers to by the end of the 27th of March 2024. Well, Isaac Kofi Ejeh is our in-house data analyst who joins me to break down the figure. Kofi, you have been reading the ECG's response to PULC. Break down the figures for us.
So, firstly, this is what we know as a result of what the ECG actually reported to the PRC. So we understand that there were 8 orders from the PRC to the ECG. 3 of them were direct inquiries or direct, you know, demands for certain things. And we understand that out of the 3 queries that the PRC demanded, ECG was only able to comply with 1 of them, which is telling them the various number of times that they've actually issued power outage notifications. And according to what the ECG reported to the PRC, when we analyzed the data further, we were able to count 104 notifications and then what the ECG actually published. But if you do a more in-depth analysis of the 104, you realize that there were repetitions in what the ECG reported to the PRC. And that will bring the number down to 49. But out of the 104 that the ECG reported to the PRC, you have about 73% of them, just like you said, being as a result of planned or scheduled maintenance work causing the power outages.
Well, we know that key among the PRC demands is the fact that they wanted ECG to publish a load shedding timetable, which they failed to do.
Yeah, they have actually failed. If you look at all the 8 orders, the provision of a timetable for load shedding is one that the PRC tagged as not complied with. It simply means that what they requested from the ECG, they did not comply with. And so they are saying that they've looked at the situation and they feel that based on this, some sanctions probably will apply.
So let's listen to Dr. Eric Obute.
That take, now that you have it, you've told us that you don't have 2 of them being complied with. Will the process kicking immediately for review and possibly imposition of sanctions? And how long will this take?
Well, we've transmitted whatever it is we have to the commissioners. I cannot give a deadline or time to the commissioners. So if the commissioners come out and tell us that by this time we are doing A, B, C, D, I'm more than willing to come out and communicate that to the public.
Safe to say that you're happy with the remainder of the directives and the ECG's compliance with those?
Well, there's another level of compliance. They're supposed to comply with the rest of the orders by April 2nd. That's next week, Tuesday. So we are waiting to see if maybe some other things in terms of the timetable will be added to those ones which will be brought in by April 2nd. Until then, this is what we have and this is what we are working with.
We also know that they are still challenging with GRIDCO. I mean, this is a separate question to you as a regulator for the sector, because in the last 48 hours, there have been 2 notices from the ECG, all referencing a shortfall in supply triggered by GRIDCO challenges. Is PRC looking into that too?
Once PRC has information to that effect, and we have engineers who work on this all the time, we take it up and we follow it through. But if we don't have any information to that effect, obviously, we only do our routine monitoring exercises.
In the case of ECG, you wrote to them to supply the information because you knew that customers were complaining.
We knew customers were complaining, and at the same time, we got information from ECG that it is as a result of 630 transformers that they were injecting into the system. So we said, give us information on that.
Proactively, would you reach out to the GRIDCO to find out what's happening from their end? Because they're also part of this value chain. If they can't supply, ECG can distribute.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That once we have this information now, that this is the situation, we are going to rope in GRIDCO as well and talk to Greco and see exactly what is going on at the Greco end.
Interesting, Kofi. So at the heart of all this, between the ECG and the PURC, is money that we need to keep our lights on. And I'm sure we made reservations, you know, for all this. So how did we get here in the first place?
Just like you said, and then you listen to the governor of the central bank, who said that the 600 million IMF money, the second tranche that came in, more than half, in fact, more than 400 million of that money was used to pay energy sector debts, arrears. So if you pay that huge sums of money to energy sector players, why are we still in this situation? But we are trying to make sense of the situation. So we've been digging and we've been able to find data and information provided by the Ghana Energy Commission. They did some projections for this year, 2024. And according to them, we will need more than $1 billion to buy fuel alone in 2024. And they say that the country currently has a dependable capacity in 2024 is peaked at 4,756 megawatts. And according to them, the demand load or the demand peak will be around 3,788. However, Fosti, the Energy Commission says that factoring in planned scheduled maintenance, which we've seen the ECG talk about, and then also fuel supply situations and available dependable capacity could dwindle this year by more than 360 megawatts. So that's very significant. Almost half of Kumasi probably might go off if you are quantifying it that way. And so you need more than $1 billion to buy fuel alone. And then also you have the shortfalls in terms of the fuel causing your dependable capacity to reduce by 356. Another question has to do with, the fact that ECG, everybody's pointing hands at fingers at ECG, but ECG generates the power we use in dollars and they collect the revenue in cedis. So there's always a shortfall. Who is actually funding that shortfall? That's a big question there.
But then, isn't that the reason why I recall the ECG increased tariffs not too long ago? There is concerns about operational costs. And that's the purpose we're paying more for electricity.
Absolutely. And anytime ECG, they raise tariffs, they peg the dollar to the CDI at a certain rate. So if my memory serves me right, the last time they wrote to the PURC to do tariff adjustment, they pegged the dollar, I think, somewhere roughly about 11 cedis. Now we are talking about 14 cedis, 13 cedis. Who is going to pay for the shortfall? The remainder. So ECG, I think that they are doing all they can to generate more revenue. But the more they generate the revenue, the more the fluctuations in the exchange rate situation affect them. To the extent that they were supposed to pay $46 million dollars to the IPPs. This time around, they could not pay. They paid a little above 10 million, leaving a big deficit. Why? It's because of the way the CD or the dollar is misbehaving in our economic space. And so ECG finds themselves in a very difficult situation where they do almost everything in dollars, but they generate majority of their revenue in CDs. And they always have to convert to pay. And so four players are at stake here. There's ECG, there's Gridco, there's the government, whether you want to call in the finance ministry or the Bank of Ghana, and then there's also the independent power producers.
Clearly, all these actors would need to appear before parliament, and we'll get into that because the chairman of the Mines and Energy Committee in parliament has already raised this issue. He said that he invited the energy minister, but unfortunately, he was not available at the time. It is something they'll get into it. But if you're spending Good Friday in the eastern region and parts of Accra, I want you to know that you might be spending it in darkness. Now, the ECG today, Kofi, brought out what they call some sort of shadow.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of disparities, but we'll get into that. On your screens now is that statement from the ECG. They say the Electricity Company of Ghana Eastern Region wishes to inform the general public, especially its cherished customers. Are we that cherished? In the underlisted areas, that the outage being experienced is as a result of technical challenges. Mark that, Kofi. Affected areas, Odang Community 6, Kopun Sawmill, Akim Suedro, Ejiasa, Achiasi, Aprade, Akenkensu, and Oswase, and surrounding communities. The ECG wishes to assure affected customers that our engineers are working assiduously to rectify the challenge and restore supply. Also, in the Greater Accra region, they've also come up with some sort of schedule. And this is quite worrying because, Kofi, just yesterday, a member of the Mines Committee and also the minority, they've been pushing that hospitals should be exempted from this outage.
Already, ECG is chasing 91 health facilities for them to pay a debt stock of 260 million Ghana cedis.
Interesting.
And they are revenue hungry, so firstly, they will not spare anybody. If you owe, you need to pay the ECG. And just like you said, not just Eastern region, when you come to the Greater Accra region, areas that will be affected.
Yeah, and that will be coming on your screen
shortly. The Okanshi Market is one of them.
Yes, Rawlings Park. And shockingly, the Children's Hospital.
And what makes this shocking situation is that before this communique, we saw that there was another one from the ECG that they sought to say that, do not worry, we have a stable national grid.
And that will be coming on your screen shortly.
Right after
it's
that.
It's quite shocking that the ECG comes to assure us everything is under control.
Control, yes.
And then you tell us that in key areas, especially my concern is the Children's Hospital, not having power tonight. I'm sure we'll be visiting the place. We'll join you. So we'll give you details as to how operation goes. Because the GMA is concerned about it. They're saying it's affecting operations.
And you know, the ECG formally was demanding that if you are a health facility and you are owing them, pay 70, at least 70% of that money or get disconnected. And we've seen the GMA coming in to say that, look, ECG, we know the hospitals are owing you. They owe you more than 260 million Ghana cedis. In some cases, hospitals like Ridge, Komfanochi, and even Kolibu owe the ECG more than 10 million Ghana cedis. We know they owe you. But there's a challenge. The challenge is that the hospitals we are talking about used to get their electricity bills paid by the government. Then in the middle of last year, you have the government coming in to say that, look, generate more revenue to pay your own bills. And they were left, they got that memo in the middle of the year. And most of them had not factored in power bills into their cost functions. And so they were thrown out of gear and they had to find ways and means. So definitely you end up piling debts, and they started racking debt very quickly, adding up to their legacy debts and all of that.
Is that the reason why there were issues at Kolibu initially with the Renault unit?
Yes, the power. Absolutely. It's one of them because Kolibu is generating more. I mean, when we looked at the 2024 budget, in the year 2023, Kolibu and then CAT raised more than 80 million Ghana cedis. Kolibu, I think, raised more than 100 million Ghana cedis, which many have said that they should be able to pay their bills and even buy consumables. But another lacuna here. Kolibu raises the revenue in cedis. And the consumables that we are talking about, most of them are in
dollars.
So at the end
of the
day,
lot of work.
When you do the conversion, you see that there's a lot of shortfall for you to follow.
Isn't GMA, that where the Bank of Ghana comes in?
The Bank of Ghana, the the finance ministry, before even that, the GMA says that ECG, if you do not reduce your threshold, your minimum threshold from the 70 to 50, it's going to be difficult for the hospitals to actually foot this bill. But the reason why we need to bring in the Ministry of Finance is because of a certain mechanism called the cash waterfall mechanism, where it includes the energy sector players and even the finance ministry. And they say that the revenue that ECG will generate within a certain period of time, they must share it in a certain way in terms of weight to the independent power producers and other power players, including even Gridco and Valco. And so when it happens like that, because ECG collects the revenue in cedis and then also pays some of the debt in dollars, you see that there's always a shortfall. And the reason why the finance ministry is on the cash waterfall mechanism is that when there's a shortfall, they must come in to foot the bill, or what they call the top-up. And since August 2023, the Finance Ministry has not been doing the top-up responsibility that they've been assigned to. They are supposed to pay $200 million, 200 million Ghana cedis to the ECG, and since August, they've not complied with that.
Well, the chairman of the Parliament's Mines and Energy Committee, Samuel Tachang, is not pleased with what is going on. He has described the posture of the energy minister as unfortunate. Let's listen to him. We'll be back.
It's very unfortunate that we need to be harassed by, if you like, matters that we've not interrogated. But that's how I see it. And I agree with Rankin that there was necessity for ECG and the rest of them to come before the committee for us to interrogate and tell to everybody where is the problem. Because whatever you say, which is going to solve the problem, what we need to do is that what you have to do, if we are responsible, you need to do it. And then we get out of this mess. But what we had, and I'm very, very honest with some matters, that when we wanted ECG and the rest of them to congregate so we interrogate the matter, we had an intervention from the minister that is out of the jurisdiction. But in such a very important interrogation, he wants to be seated. That's how come we never got around to interrogate the matter. But it is imperative that if you have a challenge, whether it's a matter of generation deficit or a financial challenge, let the people of Ghana know that there's this challenge and this is the timetable. So people will plan around the challenge you are facing. To make it like it's a fetish that we don't know whether today I'll have power in my area or I won't have power, how people are on their clothes to get to work and the rest of it, and all the challenges, I don't think that's the way to go. It's so unprofessional and too messy for comfort. So I think I will liaise with Rankin, and I'm tempted to believe that the minister is in the realm. We need to, although we are on holiday, we need to, I mean, get the members back for us to congregate, and they will be able to go into these matters. But for Christ's sake, whatever the blame is, the people of Ghana are entitled to know that this is a credible timetable. So even how you put your food in the fridge, you plan it. It's very, very important.
And
we shouldn't be given a shabby treatment.
And you're speaking the language of the customers who have been complaining that this timetable is needed. However, the energy minister was asked the same question. There are calls for timetable. He didn't think that was a call that was legitimate.
Oh, I didn't get a full story from him. Why is it not legitimate? You're providing a service. The service is erratic. People live around the service you provide. Today, I'm unable to provide a service, but you can be sure tomorrow, half the day, I'll do it. Yes, that is unfortunate because we need a timetable. Today, electricity generation has no party colors. I want to stress that. Because at the end of the day, if you are an MPP, you consume electricity. If you are NDC, you consume electricity. So it's only professional to say we are having challenges. But because of the hard fact that we don't want to inconvenience you unduly, there's a plan. You can enjoy electricity at this time. People will plan around what you make available. People will know whether we should iron our clothes ahead of time, and when you cook and put in the fridge and the rest of it. So no matter the permutation, I'm of the humble view that we need a timetable until the situation normalizes. They take off the timetable.
Interesting. He says it's unprofessional.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's only professional that when you are in a situation and you find difficulties, mm-hmm. you make it clear to people that A is wrong, B is what we have at the moment. We will rectify it very soon.
But we know some factories would be affected by this power cut, especially the Tema enclave. Tell us more about it.
In fact, if you look at one area that has been affected by this recent power fluctuations, is the Greater Accra region, specifically the Accra areas and Tema.
Okay.
It was yesterday ECG issued two statements or two partial timetables. Because they didn't come with the time.
Okay.
And you can count 69 areas in Tema that were going to be affected by yesterday's output, released by the ECG. Tema Area 1, there were 32 areas that are going to be affected. Key among them is the Afienya. And then Christian International School, the entire Pram Pram Township got affected yesterday, Dawenya was affected, and others. Now, if you look at the next one, which is where majority of the industries are, 37 areas or places that we counted in what the ECG put out, majority of them are all in the industrial areas, Japan Motors, Unilever, Ghana Ports and Harbor Authority, their terminals 1 and 2 were all affected yesterday. And we know the convenience, the inconvenience that that will create in clearing of goods. Tema Oil Refinery Pumping Station, this is very
important. This is very important.
Was also affected, yesterday. So the list goes on and on and on. There's Dangote Cement, Jata Cement affected yesterday.
Cocoa Board Warehouse.
Cocoa Board Warehouse.
That's massive.
Exactly, because, I mean, this comes at a time when already we do not even have cocoa beans. So if we have less than we are storing, and power, you know, fluctuations and all of that, it could affect the cocoa beans or the health. When you send it to the international market, you may not get the right price and all of that. So you could see that the ECGs, let me not even say the ECG, the unreliable power supply we are facing currently is affecting every corner of the society and every piece of our economy.
And the actors of the game, Kofi, they're playing the blame game. Mm-hmm. ECG says it's critical. Grico is silent. Now, PURC is blaming the ECG. This cycle, and yet we still don't have power.
That's a very good analogy. In fact, if you look at the response that ECG gave to the PURC, we've been analyzing it and trying to see who is ECG giving us the reason. And we realized that the last 5 or 6 power outages that we have, ECG has blamed more than 50% on Grico.
Interesting. But then they're also coming to tell us today that everything is fine. It will be coming up on your screen shortly, a statement from ECG, where they're telling us that, you know, don't worry, you won't have lights at the children's hospital, but we have everything under control. And this is conflicting. Kofi, this is coming out today, Friday, 29th of March, where the ECG is saying, let me read the statement.
All right.
The Electricity Company of Ghana wishes to inform our cherished customers and the general public that we have stable national power supply.
Keyword is stable.
The keyword is stable. And they put that also, national grid. So in a bracket, so that you know that everything is under control. And they say any customer who is currently experiencing power outage is due to a localized fault. And they give you contacts there which you could call so that you could get it fixed according to them immediately. But then you give us a shadow and you tell us that Children's Hospital would not be getting power tonight. So what is going on, really? So
it simply goes back to negate PRC, ECG statement that there's a stable national grid.
Mm.
Because if there are areas, and even yesterday, key industrial areas in Tema were affected, and they tell us today that our national grid is stable. The word stable, I mean, people can play around it. But the fact that there are areas that are scheduled to go off, even if there are certain situations where you are not part of the schedule, but you still go off. There are areas that goes off without being part of the schedule. That goes back to negate ECG's statement that the national grid is stable. But I do not blame ECG alone. I always say that we need to tackle this issue with all the other stakeholders. ECG is involved, Gridco is involved, Finance Ministry is involved, IPPs are also involved. In fact, the Finance Ministry is a very important player here because if they fail to fund the top-up, it means that ECG will keep on owing the state-owned enterprises who provide ECG power.
Kofi, the Mines and Energy Committee in Parliament, they have invited all the actors. Mm. They said they initially, when they did that, none of them showed up. So we're hoping this time that the chairman of the Mines and Energy Committee would ensure the actors come to bear and account for what is going on. Until then, we'd have to sleep without lights.
Well, of course, I mean, if you start playing blame game, nobody wants to show up to take the final shot. So they will all be doing hide and seek until we try to tackle the problem head on and try and find out where exactly. Is it generational situation? Is it fuel? Is it whatever? Is it that we do not have at all? Is it that we need to shed a certain amount because of fault, maintenance work, or whatever? We need to be clear with ourselves And the fact that we release a timetable, well, I mean, I understand that there's a political element attached to it, so nobody wants to put out anything for it to look like Dumsor is back. So we all leave with it.
Thank you so much, Isaac Kofi Ejeh, data analyst and member of our research desk here at Joy News. Now, what is the role of the church in nation building? This is a crucial question that we'll seek answers to today on The Pulse as Christians in Ghana observe Good Friday with church services. Some members of St. Paul's Catholic Church in Kokomlemle took to the streets to reenact the crucifixion of Jesus Christ as the world marks Good Friday. Here's a report by Jacqueline Ansumayebwa.
In a spectacle that blended faith with theatrical flair, St. Paul's Catholic Church transformed the streets of Kokomlemle into a stage recreating the emotional narrative of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. With hearts heavy yet hopeful, parishioners donned robes of devotion, ready to embody the timeless tale of sacrifice and salvation.
The sixth station, Veronica wipes the face of Jesus.
As the procession wound its way through the heart of Kokomlemle, the air was thick with reverence.
The reenactment brings to us the sacrifice of Jesus on his journey to the cross. And so anytime we enact, we follow Jesus in the form of prayer. But some people do not even understand the English language when they see that we are enacting. It brings to them the reality of the situation. You may be whatever, but this day should speak to you, particularly the love of God.
Reverend Father Emmanuel Gusu is a parish priest of the St. Paul's Catholic Church in Kokomlemle. For the faithful gathered, the reenactment was not just a performance, but a powerful reminder of the timeless message of love, sacrifice, and redemption that lies at the heart of Easter. Jacqueline Ansumaya Boris report for Joy News.
President Akufo-Addo, in his Easter message, emphasized the importance of safe driving on the roads and also encouraged the nation to remain in prayer at all times. That statement he posted on Facebook is coming up on your screens right now. We also know that the flag bearer, both the NDC and the NPP, have also been sharing their Easter messages. We'll start with the NPP and also start with the president before going there. On your screens now is the president's message to the nation today. He says, on behalf of my beautiful wife, Rebecca, my children, and behalf of government, I wish all Ghanaians a happy Easter. That's his Easter message, with the hope that the blood shed. I'm struggling to see what, if you would have to bring it a bit closer to me. Hope that the blood spilled on the cross will heal our land and cleanse us of all iniquity. Well, in this season, let us drive carefully on the roads and keep the nation in our prayers at all times. Well, that's the statement from the presidency as we mark Easter. And then we also have a message from the NPP, the flag bearer of the NPP, which is Baumia. And he's also been sharing his Easter message, and it's coming up on your screen as well. That's the statement from Baumia, Good Friday. It says, today marks the beginning of a momentous event on the Christian calendar, Easter. This occasion brings us a time to unite, reflect on, and appreciate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to humanity and the values he embodies, that of mercy, love, and selflessness. Samira Baumia and I extend our fervent greetings this Easter to all Christians. May the celebration leave us with fond memories, good cheer, and glad tidings. That's the statement from the Vice President, Dr. Mahmoudou Bawumia, who is also the flag bearer for the NPP. The NDC statement is also coming up on your screen as well. This is from the flag bearer for the NDC. It says, may the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, always bring heavenly joy and holy desires to our hearts. Wishing you a blessed Good Friday. Happy Easter. Let's build Ghana together. And it comes with a wishing you a blessed Good Friday sticker there, just to show that both parties, key actors in our political scene, wishing us the best. Now, the big question we're asking here on the Pulse is that what role does the church play in advocating for social justice? Well, joining us now on Zoom is a pastor and a preacher who would help us delve into this issue. Because key among the concerns among a lot of people is what role is the church playing? And so we would have to get answers from those key actors in this field. Well, Tony Dedra is joining me right now. He's a preacher, a pastor, also sharing his thoughts with me on Christmas. We'll be getting other people to join us shortly, but we'll start with him, Tony. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Pulse. First off, I know you have your Easter message, so I'll take that before we delve into the issues.
Okay, thank you very much, and good afternoon to your viewers. So, Easter is when Jesus Christ came to die for us. The Bible says that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ came to die for us. We were not good. We were not nice people for him to die for us. And he leaves us an example that we should also emulate sin. We must be able to also sacrifice for our neighbors, for our friends, for our nation. So on this Easter Friday, I wish all Ghanaians a happy Easter and wants to remind everybody that Jesus came to die for a sacrifice for us. And he told us that we should love our enemies. And because of that, in our relationship, in our dealings with our neighbors, with our colleagues in the office, with our friends and loved ones, love should lead us. Thank you very much.
Now, Pastor Tony, it's quite ironic that the only time we seem to hear from the church is during festivities or close to election time where they're calling for peace. Now, this begs the question, what's actually the role of the church in advocating for social justice and human rights within the nation?
I don't think the comment you just made is correct. Because when we talk about a church is made up of individuals. And these individuals are citizens of the nation. So every Sunday, and those who go to church on Saturdays, every Saturday, every Sunday, these citizens come to church. And at the church, messages are preached. And for most times, the basic lesson or the basic message that comes out is peace. Normally, teaching members how to be tolerant to each other, how to forgive each other. So, throughout the year, the church is preaching peace. The church is teaching its members how to be good citizens. So, it's not true that it's only election time or only festivities that you hear us. It's during the festivities, that is when media houses go out to these churches or go out to men of God to speak. But otherwise, these men are always speaking in their churches. And if for example, in Ghana, we say 70% of us are Christians, that means that most of us go to church on Sundays. So they hear these messages when they go to church on Sundays.
Let's talk about corruption. 70% of our population are Christians. But corruption is rife. Public institutions, private institutions, individuals in their little corner So what is happening with the message we're preaching in church? Isn't that supposed to reflect in the lives and attitudes and characters of the individuals who go to church?
Yes.
Where's the problem here?
I believe that what you are saying is correct. Like, if really all these people are going to church, then their lives must reflect what is being taught in church. But I think one thing you must not forget is that the church is not made up of angels. The church is made up of sinners who have gone to church for redemption. So all these, what the Bible says that, and be ye not conformed to this world, and be ye transformed. So as people come to church, they are being transformed. It is like going to the hospital and say, why are so many people sick in the hospital? But of course, it's sick people who go to church. Jesus said, I didn't come to save the righteous. I came to save the unrighteous. So it is work ongoing. And every day as these people come to church and they allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives, we'll see them being transformed. And that will also be seen in the things they do out there.
There are key issues currently in governance. Key among them is the erratic power supply. You're a pastor. I'm sure you've been experiencing some outages in your church. But the church is silent on this. So who should speak up then?
So you want the church to speak on everything? I think some of the churches, I remember recently I listened to a man of God who was lamenting and this and criticizing government for this. So in the churches, they speak on these things. Maybe you want the church to not come out and come and condemn. But, you know, because the church is made up of everybody, the church should also be very careful when they are coming strongly on these things. So I think the churches are measured. They are measured in these things. You know, it's not necessary to always come out and come and criticize. But underground, you can advise, you can offer suggestions, you can offer proposals. I think that's one of the ways that the church is going around this.
But with these issues happening in the public face, it's happening in public. Why would you want to seek solutions underground?
Not necessarily. So you are just giving just one example. There are other issues. There are other public issues where the church comes out strongly. I'm only just saying that it's not always in everything the church might just come out strongly and criticize and condemn. There are things, there are other ways of handling this. And I think that for us to understand what is the issue, what is the challenge of ECG, and then when the church has competent body, they can advise. But it's not necessary for the church to just come out and just criticize for criticism's sake. I don't think that is how the church should be doing.
As we wrap up the conversation, I want to find out from you, what do you think are some of the key things that we need as a nation to move us forward?
So, as a nation, I think, one, we need to be united. Two, we need to be truthful to each other. The political parties, the opposition, both in government and opposition, we should be truthful to the people we are serving. And us, as citizens, I think we should all ask for accountability. I don't think there's anything wrong in asking for accountability. It's our tax. It's our taxes the government is supposed to use to take care of us. So if there's something going on which is not right, I think we should be able to talk about it. But the government should also be open enough to receive these criticisms and work on them and not to tag the people as opposition. We want the betterment. The government is there for the welfare of the people. The government is there for the development of the nation. So any suggestion or any proposal, even criticisms that can help government to work better or can open government's eyes to some of the issues that are confronting citizens should be welcome. And I think that as a country, we should be open to such criticisms, proposals, ideas. And then I think that as individuals, we should shun corruption. As an individual, you must let integrity be at the forefront of your life. We must all, in our own small way, bam, or banish corruption from our lives and from the nation.
Thank you so much, Anthony.
When your mind is corrupted, and when your mind is always thinking about corruption, you are not able to bring ideas that can help the citizens.
We're grateful, Anthony Dedra. He's a pastor. Thank you for joining us here on The Pulse. Well, we know that the Ghana Police Service has encouraged passengers to remain vigilant and speak up against suspicious activities to prevent road accidents. This festive season, the IGP and his team has been visiting some bus terminals in Accra, Kumasi, and Kwewu to ensure the safety of the citizenry this festive season. Well, the National Road Safety Authority, which has also deployed personnel across the country to ensure strict adherence to road safety regulations, has been sharing some safety tips for drivers. Here's engineer David Osafo Adonting.
Doing is that our men are talking to drivers, we are talking to pedestrians and occupants of vehicles for them to behave within the remit of the law, particularly overspeeding. As we said, we do not want people to speed beyond the limit. We are talking to them to wear their seatbelts and not to drink and drive. At the same time, to lower their speed as they traverse from the Accra corridor all the way to Kopo in particular. We started early morning, before 6 we were here. We understand the IGP and the team also were here yesterday all the way to 10 p.m. in the night. We are sustaining those efforts, and as I speak to you now, the entire stretch is congested. Vehicles are moving at very slow pace. And it's all the way from Gunsu area to Nkoko, which means that a lot more vehicles and a lot more people are traveling today.
Well, away from the Easter festivities, as Muslims across the world mark the 30-day-long month of Ramadan in a season of rising temperatures in some parts of the world, Bono East Regional Director of Health Services, Dr. Fred Boateng, is admonishing fasting Muslims to increase their intake of water, particularly during the pre-dawn meals, to prevent dehydration, which can easily drain one's energy. He's been speaking with my colleague, Anat Sabit.
The Muslim holy month of Ramadan is upon us again, and people across the world are fasting as well as spending much of their time contemplating and praying. Of course, the length of time a person fasts for varies depending on where in the world they live, as their length is governed by the time of year and distance one is from the equator. Before one goes on to embark on this important religious obligation, one has to first consider his or her ability to do so health-wise. Bono East Regional Director of Health Services, Dr. Fred Adamak Watin, admonishes Muslims to first know their medical conditions before embarking on the dawn to dusk fast of Ramadan.
We all know the religious or spiritual benefits of fasting. I mean, for some of us, because of our beliefs, it's one of the cardinal things that we do as a form of worship or whatever. But sadly, it's not everybody that can do. And we know, especially some people, some pregnant women, you don't really want them to be fasting because of the state that they are in. Some people on some medications too, because of the way and the manner in which they have to take their medicine. Obviously, you don't have to fast, but you have to know the limits. I will not be able to prescribe who and what, because if based on your condition, then there is a need for you to look for or seek a medical advice. Notwithstanding, there are a lot of benefits in terms of fasting. And then when it's been done well, your concentration is even different. Health-wise, mentally, physically, and all these. But you should know yourself.
Now, even though scientific research has shown that fasting is good for your health and in terms of mental health, Ramadan fast improves mental health and depression symptoms. It is good to note that the recent change in climate, which has led to a rise in temperatures in some parts of the world, means heat-induced fluid loss from perspiration may lead to acute kidney injury, which could lead to chronic kidney diseases in some cases. As a result, Dr. Fred Amakubwaten advises Muslims to increase their intake of water before and after breaking their fasts, as well as take intermittent showers in order to stay safe.
The weather is not friendly, but notwithstanding, it's a vow or something that you are doing. In relation to that, depending on how you do it, you know yourself. If you take maybe one bottle early before six or whatever, can you take two? I mean, these are some of the things. And even in the midst of doing them, you really want to go that far. But you can. If there are other diverse ways that you can reduce, can shower. We have different forms of doing this, because at the end of the day, this is not somebody who say a chronic thing that you are doing. It's just a period. And this is a moment, a season. That will pass, and therefore you want to take advantage of this season to get all the benefits that you are intended.
He however admonishes people who are having health challenges, particularly those going through extreme hydration, to take a break in order to take medical advice before continuing with their fasts.
It's very important, so crucial, that is the baseline for which you will have to know yourself. If you are diabetic, hypertensive, you have to take particular drugs at some time. And then you don't, or you have to seek medical advice to do that.
Reporting for Joy News, Anas Sabit, Techiman.
We're taking a quick breather here on The Pulse with me, Faustina Sava. When we return, we'll put the spotlight on mental health issues. To stay tuned in.
That's true.
It can store a lot of water.
That's so true.
Wow. It has a walking tortoise on it.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
I can see S-I-N-T-E-S. Syntax.
That is so true, my daughter.
When it falls down, it will spoil.
That's not true.
But why?
Whoa. Hey.
Syntex was the first to introduce double layer tanks in Ghana. Syntex again was the first to introduce white inner layers in Ghana. Syntex gives you the biggest warranty, 7 years. No matter your water needs, Syntex is the answer. Syntex tank. Are you strong? Are you tough?
Are you to start freedom? Are you going?
We all have that friend who wakes up early to go get everyone McDonald's breakfast, but the rest of us sleep in. This is your sign to thank them. And if you're that friend, this is us saying thank you.
Just a friendly reminder that right now, get any size iced coffee before 11 a.m. for just 99 cents. And a satisfying sausage McMuffin with egg is just $2.79. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Ago to every resident in our vibrant regions. Brace yourself for an unforgettable and transformative journey with Nana Kwame Bediako as he embarks on the groundbreaking regional listening tour. From bustling cities to the serene landscapes of Ghana, say hello to a leader who genuinely listens to your concerns, dreams, and hopes for a better community and country. A leader who is ready to get things moving again with you and by you.
Nana Kwame Bediako, eh bang kasan kasa, eh bae, eh bona, yena zoa, mwanan oliba.
He's coming live and colored to your communities. Get ready. It's your time to be heard.
Across Africa, a new era has begun. Shifting our focus to a new horizon, connecting us with one purpose: to create and share opportunities to grow. Today, we are making a brighter tomorrow, built by our dreams and our energy. Across our continent, across the world, we are creating a better way to a better future. A Pan-African future, together. Ecobank, a better way, a better Africa. Dive into the lives of extraordinary individuals who have achieved unparalleled success in their fields. From groundbreaking academics to legal luminaries and visionary leaders and entrepreneurs, the legends who have seen it all and shaped the very fabric of our society.
We are living on borrowed values, borrowed whatever. Our ancestors said, borrowed water never quenches thirst.
Hear their stories, learn from their experiences, and get inspired by their wisdom as they share insights that are both enlightening and transformative.
I'm told that these days, the election is all about who gives you most money.
What do you think about that?
Well, it wasn't like that in the early days. It was not like that. But then I suppose it's because of hard times.
I would like to see more honesty, not only in our rulers, but also among us, the ruled.
On the message I'm giving your generation is that don't be fooled that you own Africa. It's something that the youth of Africa have to, you know, to focus on. And they have to be prepared to die defending the motherland.
The Sages is a journey into the minds of those who have truly made a difference, a unique opportunity to stand on the shoulders of giants. The Sages, coming soon on Joy News and on all our social media platforms.
The race for the Jubilee House is beginning. Ghana is at a crossroads. It's time again for the people to choose, and the world is watching.
We will do this because in a nation where every vote counts, where every voice matters, there's one name you can trust for your election coverage. Joy News, your election headquarters. Our team of seasoned journalists will bring you up-to-the-minute updates, unbiased analysis, and the stories behind the headlines.
Joy News, independent, fearless, credible.
Featuring on Celeb Biz this week is blogger and entrepreneur Zion Felix.
I'm not a money spender. Most of my money goes into investment. So if I earn $100, if I earn $100 billion, I'm still me. The only thing I use my money for, I'll eat, I'll buy a car, I'll build houses. And maybe I take my family, I don't joke with my people. I don't want to think that will stress me, because blogging doesn't stress me.
Interesting.
Doesn't stress me at all. I ask the question that everybody is asking at home. Then I'll add mine to it. But if you ask for a... So when I meet them, what should I do? Maybe I don't care what they what would they watch? Don't get anything to watch.
Celeb Biz shows on Joy News every Sunday at 9 p.m. with a repeat on Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Celeb Biz, exploring life besides fame.
The race for the Flagstaff House is beginning. Ghana is at a crossroads. It is time again for the people to choose, and the world is watching. We will do this because in a nation where every vote counts, where every voice matters, there's one name you can trust for your election coverage. Joy News, your election headquarters. Our team of seasoned journalists will bring you up-to-the-minute updates, unbiased analysis, and the stories behind the headlines. The election headquarters for an informed electorate. Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible.
Welcome to the maiden edition of the Joy News Impact Makers Award.
Tonight we gather here to honor and celebrate individuals.
We celebrate the goodness in our humanity
and create more inclusive, compassionate, and thriving societies.
The overall winner, Isaac Achoato.
In a land where dreams are often cradled in arms of hope, there exists a league of unsung heroes. They are the silent architects of change, the torchbearers who illuminate paths where once there was only darkness. From the verdant stretches of our farms to the innovative labs of science, from the warm embrace of humanitarian aid to the simplest acts of kindness, these are the changemakers who sculpt the future of our nation, stitch by stitch. Unknown to them, their acts of selflessness have resonated across the land, stirring the hearts of many and sparking a movement of recognition and celebration. It's that time of the year again. Joy News proudly presents the Impact Makers Awards 2024. Join us in our quest to support and honor those steadfast warriors who are remolding the destiny of our community and our nation. This is your moment to nominate the unsung hero in your midst, the beacon of change whose story deserves to be told. To nominate your Impact Maker of the Year, send your entries to impact.makersawards@myjoyonline.com. Let's amplify their stories. The Joy News Impact Makers Awards, celebrating ordinary people making extraordinary impact.
For the Jubilee House is beginning. Ghana is at a crossroads. It is time again for the people to choose, and the world is watching. We'll do this because in a nation where every vote counts, where every voice matters, there's one name you can trust for your election coverage. Joy News, your election headquarters. Our team of seasoned journalists will bring you up to the minute updates and biased analysis on the stories behind the headlines. The election headquarters for an informed electorate. Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Pulse. Now, we're putting the spotlight into the crucial role of universal acceptance. We want to find out how crucial is this when it comes to internet technologies and also overcoming language barriers faced by global internet issues. Now, we're wondering why this conversation is important, because the internet is a universal place, and hence there's a need for universal language. The Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, in partnership with the Ghana Domain Name Registry, the Association of African Universities, and the E-Governors and Internet Governors Foundation for Africa, is spearheading an awareness campaign urging stakeholders to champion the integration of local language scripts into domain names. Now, let's delve deeper into this and find out what it seeks to achieve. I have three gentlemen in the studio with me. I'll let them introduce themselves for me, because their name is quite a mouthful. I'll start with Raymond.
So I am Raymond Mamata, the founder and president of e-governance and Internet Governance Foundation for Africa, simply called EGICFA. We are a civil society here in Ghana.
And then next to Raymond.
My name is Abdulmanaf Suleimana. I'm a UAE project officer at the Association of African Universities.
And next to him?
I'm Nana Kofi Asafu-Edu, Executive Director of the Ghana Domain Name Registry. We are mainly supposed to be the stewards of the .com.gh domain names in Ghana.
Interesting. Let's get a better understanding as to why there is a need for inclusiveness when it comes to the Ghanaian domain. I'll start with you, because that's your field. This agenda you are pushing, what are you seeking to achieve?
The first aim of this agenda is, as you said rightly, inclusiveness. The internet is growing fast in our current world, and everything that we need to do has to be geared toward including as many people as possible into internet technology. Now, the more people we're able to include from our local internet, the better our local internet will be. And when you look at the recent disruptions, one of the main issues was that there was a lot of dependency on foreign internet. But if we do a lot to strengthen our local internet, include more people, then the whole nation will benefit as a whole.
How can we even strengthen our local internet in the first place? That's your field of speciality. So enlighten us.
Well, strengthening our local internet means that we should get as much local content developed. Local content means content in our local languages, content related to our culture, content that Ghana can give to the world. And when we put that on the internet, it is essential that the websites that talk about these things have a .com.gh name at the end of it, so it's from Ghana to the world. Now, the connection with universal acceptance is that sometimes we need domain names that include Ghanaian alphabet letters, like let's say the O or the A, which cannot be read or processed by systems that were developed in English. So that's where universal acceptance comes in, where we need to do our part to ensure that our letters, just like Chinese letters or Greek letters or Amharic letters from Ethiopia, are processed on the internet, no matter where they are sent. And this is in connection to domain names and email addresses in particular.
How far have we come as a country in achieving this universal coverage?
We are at the beginning, and that's why we are doing this work to do our awareness creation. This year, we are going beyond awareness creation, and we are doing training, technical training. Because you can create all the awareness you want, but if the technical capability and know-how is not there, then the awareness will fall to nothing. So this year, there's a lot of training going to take place so that our technical people can build the necessary systems. And also, we have to go to the next stage of collaborating with the rest of the world to tell them about our letters. Right now on Google, Android phones, you can get Akan keyboards, you can get Hausa, you can get keyboards using different letters. But the next thing is the processing of the domain names and email addresses that are typed in those, what we call them scripts. So if you have like Sankofa.com, There's an O in the word Sankofa. But then, because it's not processed, you see that it will be spelled with an O. Sometimes you see people would write something, and then instead of using the E, they use a three.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, the three can be processed because it has an ASCII, what we call ASCII representation. It has a representation on computer systems. But the reverse three doesn't. So work has to be done in that direction.
Well, interesting. Now, because for the average Ghanaian myself, when I'm on my phone, I'm just looking for the easy way out. But civil society is also involved in this. What's your role in this, Raymond?
Okay, so at GICFA, we are mainly into e-governance and internet governance, and UA, universal acceptance, is also part of internet governance. So our role here is we are part of the entity that represents the end users in ICANN. So we've taken this upon ourselves to be part of the team to organize this year's Universal Acceptance Day in order to bring more end users into the internet, especially in Ghana, as Nana Kofi already said, to be able to use our domains that bears our own local scripts and names on the internet. So this is our role. And to add to that, Universal Acceptance is a project that flows from the awareness creation to technical training, then to adoption. So Ghana, we are also in the limelight because we've done the awareness creation last year, and this year is for the technical training. So that is what really it is about. And we are happy to be leading this in aspect of the civil society.
All this sounds quite technical, especially for some of us in this field. What's been the response so far when you go to the field?
Okay, so the response we've gotten so far is quite very interesting. Because after the UA that we organized last year, we've also done the Universal Acceptance Awareness again during the IGF this year. And we've got a lot of people who showed interest, especially the youth. They are interested to know how they could engage in order to play their role in for us to get the local script on the internet. As Nana Kofi said, with regards to domain names and the emails. And simply, domain names is the address that locates the domain you want to visit online. So, for instance, if you want to visit Joy FM, so you enter the joy.com. So, the joy.com is the location address to locate the Joy website. So, we are talking about, that's what the domain names is about. So, locating to locate a domain on a website. So, that is basically part of it. So, it is very important for us to be engaged in this.
Let me bring in Abdul Manaf. You speak for the wider audience, the universities. What's the response so far, especially with young people in tertiary institutions? Is this even something that they require as important?
So, for AAU, being the voice of higher education in Africa, last year we launched the Universal Acceptance Project with ICANN. It's estimated that less than 2% of higher education institutions in Africa are UA reliant. Despite being linguistically diverse in Africa with so many languages, we are still not UA reliant. I'll give you an example, like Tonaton, right?
Mm-hmm.
No free promo. You know, Tonaton. Tonaton is not T-O-T-O-N-A-T-O-N. It should be Tonaton. But because you can't use the O, you can't use the O in the browser, if you should type T-O-T-O, it will give you a field. It will give you a field. But with UA, you can easily type T-O-N-A-T-O-N and then get to the website you want to go. So for AAU, we ran the project last year, and we've had two technical trainings, one in Accra, the other in Namibia. And then we are looking, there's another aspect of this that we are doing. We are looking to introduce into the curricula. So we are having a workshop in Morocco, hopefully, in April, 26th April in Morocco, with vice deans and a head of computer science workshop in Morocco, hopefully, in April, 26th April in Morocco, with vice deans and heads of computer science, seems to be UA reliance. By the time they graduate from into the workforce, they'll have the experience to make all systems that have been developed UA reliance. So that's where the AAU comes in, for the academia, for the students, and to make the internet more accessible to everyone. This was not for only Ghana, but deans from other institutions in Africa. And it was well accepted. We sent forms for their feedback, and they seemed very interested in introducing it into their curricula as well.
Are there timelines to this?
Yes. For AAU, we envisage that in 2025, about 200 of our institutions will be UA reliant. by 2025.
And this number, how many of this number is from Ghana?
So we have about 50 institutions from Ghana.
Okay. And currently you're engaging their vice chancellors?
Yes, for the curricular aspect of it.
Okay.
With the UA readiness aspect of it, we are engaging the ICT directors.
Okay.
So maybe Legon, the ICT director, UPS, the ICT director, KNUST, the ICT director. We've had workshops with them in Accra. And then in last year in July, we had it in Namibia for the South African zone, where we trained the ICT directors on how to make their systems UA reliant, UA compliant. Yes.
How safe is our domain here in Ghana?
Our domain, the G domain is very safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's in good hands, and a lot of work is also being done to put it in a better shape. And luckily, we have a very good cybersecurity authority that we work with hand in hand to ensure that the domains are safe.
How do I identify a domain that could possibly lead to hackers getting access to my phone and a proper domain? That's your field of specialty. That's what I want to know.
Well, I mean, for that, I think that you should always pay attention to the browser that you're using. Most modern browsers will give you a warning. And so that's what should tell you that this domain name probably can hack your phone. Also, in fact, what ties in with universal acceptance, you know that some domain names can use other letters, which will mimic like a domain that is known to you.
Okay.
So for example, if you have a domain name that has a letter O in it, a hacker could change the letter O to zero. Okay.
Interesting.
Yes, and then we'll create what we call a phishing site. Phishing site is that it will pretend to be the site that you are familiar with, and then create a form and collect your information.
Wow.
Yes. So what you have to do is to be very observant. When they give you a domain name or you get a link or whatever, you have to study the link closely. In fact, for me, if I see any link that is almost unreadable, I don't click it. I'll send the person back and say, what is in this link? Most of the time they'll say, oh, I don't know, I'm sorry, or something like that. So I think it comes down to being alert and knowing that every single letter is important in whatever domain name or website that you want to visit.
Interested. Let me come to civil society, because you're working with different bodies to ensure this comes to light. Finances are quite important. So we'll come to finances across board. How much is this project costing you?
It's a collaborative effort between the three entities with the GNRL, EGICFA, and the AAU. So we are putting a budget together as a team to organize it. So actually the main UA day that we'll be celebrating in Ghana is on the 15th of May.
Okay.
So this, so we had the press briefing yesterday to launch the event. So the main one will be on the 15th of May, and the cost is quite huge, but we are sharing the costs as three entities organizing this event. However, we call on any other entities that are interested to come in and partner, because universal acceptance is not for the government only, it is not for the end users only, it is not for the technical entities only, it's for everybody. Because if you are creating an email, for instance, and you cannot use the reverse of E in it, and that is what you wanted to use, I'm sure you'll not be interested or you'll not be happy.
Yeah.
So everybody has a role to play in achieving this.
Interesting. I like when we talk figures, but you're avoiding the numbers. Let's see if Abdul could help us. This is going to cost you a lot. How much are you injecting into it?
So with the UA project itself, the AAU and ICANN, we have a project where ICANN is funding it, so they rely on us to use our institution. They are funding that aspect of it. But regarding the UAD on the 15th of May, we are joining our heads together with funds to... It's going to be held at the AAU premises, and then we will cover some part of the budget. They'll cover some part. The DGNR will cover some part. So yesterday, for instance, the DGNR oversaw the arrangements for the press briefing, and then I'm sure on 15th May, together, we'll all come together and make it a successful event.
How do we ensure the interest of the youth in this whole agenda you are pushing? Because it's one thing to talk about inclusiveness. It's another thing for me to be interested in it at all. So how do you think we can do that?
For instance,
because you deal with the students.
Last year we had it. We invited about five each from computer programs, like the computer groups in the universities. So from UPSA, from Legon, from Wisconsin, we invited about five students from these institutions who are IT students. And then we give them souvenirs, T-shirts. I'm wearing one of it right now. T-shirts, pens. When they go back, they'll speak to their colleagues and let them know what they learned at the awareness event. But on 15th May, it will be a technical training. So when they come, they'll get to have the hands-on skills to be able to make their systems reliant.
How do I become a part of this whole agenda you're pushing? I'll start with you, Nana.
If you or anyone wants to become a part, May 15th, keep that date in your mind. AAU East Legon, keep that location in your mind. When you come, you will be enlightened on more things, and you will see the relevance, and that would encourage you to join.
Do I have to pay a gate fee, Raymond?
No, there's no gate fee in this, and it is free for everyone to come and learn. But I want to add to the engagement aspect. UA has a lot of working groups. Okay. We have the communication working group, and I'm the vice chair of the communication working group. So participating in UA has members from every continent, everywhere in the world. So we have the body, that is the UASG, Universal Acceptance Steering Group, that is managing the whole UA project. Within ICANN, that is the Internet Corporation for Assigned Name and Numbers. So if you want to engage, you can join any of the working group depending on your skills. So you being a generalist, you could possibly join our working group, which is for the communication. We have others that are for the IDN, which is the international domain name. We have the email identification ones too. So you can also join depending on your skills. So in the global aspect, you can visit the uasg.tech website to see how your interest and where you can play a role. Everybody has a role to play. However, in celebrating the UA Day in Ghana, everybody could have a role to play. If you are interested, you can contact any of us in how you could get engaged.
Interesting. And for the student community?
You are invited to participate in this UA Day. For instance, Legon, UPSA, just AU is just like a stone throw from there. So you're all welcome to participate on the 15th of May, yes, 2024. Yes.
What's your end goal and target?
So, for this UAD awareness and the technical training, we plan to give them technical skills on how to make systems UA compliant. But on the larger UA project, as I said, we are planning to make at least 200 AAU member institutions UA compliant.
Okay.
Then the second phase of the project is to ensure that universities will introduce UA into the curricula. Yes.
And Nana, what's our target? Do we have timelines to this target?
I wouldn't talk about timelines now. It's an ongoing work.
Okay.
But I think that the ones that universities are compliant, government entities will be compliant, business entities will be encouraged and guided to compliance, and eventually everyone or entity should be compliant, because UA without total compliance is not really UA. See, the word is universal. So universities are a good place to start, and then the work should go across.
Do you propose some sort of sanction when people fail to comply?
Not at all. I don't buy into proposing a sanction for compliance. I'd rather go for incentivization.
Okay.
Yes.
Why? Why do you think that's a better option? We are in Ghana.
Well, because incentivization makes the whole process more palatable. And I don't think it's a situation where sanctions are necessary at any stage at all. But I think that when people see the benefit for themselves, for their businesses, for their schools, for their institutions, it's very easy for them to actually join and engage.
I'll come around for your final words before we let you go. I'll start with Abdul Manaf.
So regarding that, I agree with Mr. Nana Kofi what he said. Organizations are supposed to embrace it because it's in their interest to be UA compliant. I give an example with the toner I usually do. If you operate in certain jurisdictions where language is a main issue there, you lose out on customers. If a customer wants to message you in Akan or Dagbani or any other language, the person may not be able to do so, and then you end up losing out on the customer.
Thank you so much. Raymond, your final words?
My final words is universal acceptance is very important because if you are not compliant, you'll be losing out on a lot. Because if somebody is sending you an email and has those scripts that your system cannot identify, your system will reject those such emails. So it is very important for all of us to test our systems and ensure that we are universal acceptance compliant in order not to lose out in the world.
Nana, your final words?
I think that I echo what they've said. I think that all organizations, entities, should make sure that they comply with universal acceptance. And as a nation, we also have to make every effort to develop our local internet to put us in a good position.
Thank you so much, Manaf, Raymond, and Nana for joining us here on The Pulse. Well, stakeholders say underfunding and lack of resources are undermining the effective implementation of mental health policies. The executive secretary of non-governmental organization Mind Freedom Ghana, Dan Taylor, says this lack of commitment will critically affect the sustenance of the humane treatment regime for mental health conditions in Ghana. He joins stakeholders in a call for the Ministry of Finance to institute a mental health levy to resource the mental health fund. There's more in this report by Clinton Yeboah.
Ghana's Mental Health Act 2012 and the policy environment inspires direct state and non-state responsibility to protect and promote the rights of persons with mental health conditions. The Act advances arbitration of violation of human rights and freedoms of persons whilst monitoring the practices and services of both formal and informal service providers. However, lack of effective implementation emanating from lack of resources is leaving facilities in dire challenge as patients relapse when unable to afford mental health treatment. Executive Secretary of Mind Freedom Ghana, Dan Taylor, says there is no roadmap for the institution of a levy or any kind of domestic resource mobilization for mental health care delivery in Ghana. He is calling for the institution of a mental health levy to resource the mental health fund.
For now, if you take a patient to Accra Psychiatric Hospital, you have to make a down payment of 500 Ghana cedis. Once there's someone with a mental health condition and the parents or the family hasn't got that money, that is why I would want to talk about the mental fund, which has been established. But then the sources of raising money into the fund is another story altogether. You know, every worker has to start is to pay the 10 pesos as source from their salary. So once that started and is going on that well, they will go into the private sector. And when people go into the hospitals for treatment, they will maybe have to subsidize or pay nothing.
He spoke at a community awareness activity on mental health and persons with mental disorders at Adankwame in the Achimangwa Abuja North District. The event assembled traditional, religious and community leaders, local assembly members, students and families of persons with mental health conditions. The outreach provided education on mental health conditions and a platform of community influencers and leaders to facilitate social support. Ashanti Regional Mental Health Coordinator Faustina Nyako is lauding strides by stakeholders, including Mind Freedom Ghana, in curbing the seemingly rampant mental health crisis.
Now, all the hospitals in the Ashanti region, they're having mental health units, the health centers, and even church institutions, they're also having mental health units. And there's good collaboration with the faith healers and the hospitals. So when they have cases, they call us to take care of them or they direct them to us before they come to them. So there has really been an improvement in mental health in the region. Also, we have some individuals or private facilities who have also opened these rehab centers for people to also get an admission.
Meanwhile, Rita Ocher, senior nurse officer at the Sophia Polyclinic, is advocating end to stigma, discrimination and physical abuse.
And then when we say stigmatization, we are talking about seeing someone in a negative way because of the person's mental health condition. Then discrimination is the act of treating the person in a bad way because you have perceived that that person is hopeless, helpless, and the person is not worthy. And so we are communicating that we are all equal when you look at the human rights aspect. No individual is better than or higher than other. And so we should be able to be there for each other. give a helping hand, support each other in times of crisis, in times of difficulty, in times of distress.
Reporting for Joy News, my name is Clinton Yeboah.
And here in Accra, my name is Faustina Safa. You're watching The Pulse. We're taking a quick breather. We'll be back with more stories. Just stay tuned in.